please turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're continuing our way through the book of Acts, and last week we started talking about how the church has servants, how God has given the church servants. But as we continue to talk through the servants that God has given his church, we're going to take a little bit of time, and some of the things we're going to be talking about this morning are from 1 Timothy and what Paul tells Timothy about this role of the deacon. And let's just go ahead and read that from 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. And if you're able to, if you'd stand with me in honor of God as we read his word together this morning. Paul has just been talking about the qualifications of elders. And then we come to verse 8 and he begins to talk about this other office, the office of deacons. He says in verse 8, "Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." You may be seated. May God encourage and strengthen us through his word this morning. And Father, we do thank you for this word. We thank you for the gift of deacons you've given our church. We think of the very physical world we live in. We're mindful even the events of this past weekend as we've seen many of our leaders get sick. And so we pray for their recovery. We think especially, of course, of our president. We pray that you would give him quick healing for his family members, for those who are in other positions of leadership. We pray for their quick recovery. We think of the season that we're in, a very tense time. And so we would ask that you would be gracious to us in a way that we do not deserve. We pray that you would give us leaders who would seek after you, or who would at least fulfill the functions you've given the government the responsibility to fulfill, and help them to do so with wisdom. But we do, of course, pray that you would bring our leaders who do not know you into saving faith, give them saving faith in your son Jesus. And we would ask, again, just for your hand of protection on our president, on our senators, on their families, on governors, different municipality leaders, as we are in a very difficult time and need good leaders. And so we pray for your kindness there. And open your word to us this morning, we pray. We pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. We've certainly seen over the past few months that we don't have to have a church building in order to worship the Lord. I think it was 6.5, 7 years ago when we were kind of raising funds for the first phase of the building, where I said something, I've said this multiple times, but I think I said it for the first time 6.5, 7 years ago. I said something like, you know, it may be if God calls us to worship him in a field, we could do that. Did not think that meant literally, you know, but literally for the past few months, we've been meeting in our parking lot in the middle of the field in central Illinois, and worship has been sweet. I would not trade the last few months with you for anything, and I did not think I would say that a few months ago, right? But I'm grateful that we went through that together as a church family. That's a shared experience that I think brought us closer together, church. I'm grateful for that. We don't have to have a physical building. We don't even have to have a building that we own. You know, we think about our sweet relationship with Five Points over the past 12 years. And many of you mentioned over the past week how you miss Five Points and you're grateful for the building, but it would have been nice to say goodbye a little bit more formally. And maybe the Lord would have something in that that capacity in our future too, to say goodbye and thank you to Five Points. But all that to say, we don't have to have a physical building. But boy, I'll tell you, this morning has been sweet, hasn't it? And God's grace in giving us a building is very evident. There are things that God can do through this physical resource that are exciting to think about. The ministries that can be accomplished by God through the gift of this physical building are tremendous. And I'm excited to think about some of those things with you. I mean, the ability to hear each other and as we sing, and the ability to have a place we call our home, the classrooms we're going to have for intensive discipleship, and the conferences we have. This is an exciting resource. And God does this very often. He allows us to use physical things for spiritual ends. The primary mission of the church is a spiritual mission. We've been talking about the book of Acts, and we've seen that we have a mission that God has given us, and it's a spiritual mission. God has told the church, this is our purpose statement, we exist to glorify God as we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and as we prepare his people to worship him forever. That's why we exist as a church. That's a spiritual mission. Proclaiming the gospel, helping us to be prepared to worship God forever. But that mission doesn't take place in just the spiritual realm. That mission exists in the physical world. In a physical world where people have problems and people suffer and people are hurting. And so the ministry of the word doesn't just exist in a bubble by itself. As we proclaim the gospel, we do so in a world full of physical needs. And God, in his grace, has given us people who help meet the physical needs of those in the church and those the church is ministering to. Deacons, we saw last week, support the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word never exists by itself. It exists in conjunction with ministry of deeds. And if we didn't have a deacon ministry, if we didn't have those godly servants who are focusing on the physical needs of the church, that the church would suffer. First of all, we know that if we didn't have deacons and other godly servants who are meeting the physical needs, the ministry of the word couldn't take place. The physical needs would overwhelm the church, and we wouldn't be able to have a ministry of the word because we'd be so busy focusing on people's physical needs. We know that if we didn't have deacons and other people focused, godly servants focused on meeting physical needs, we know that the church would also suffer as our gospel proclamation didn't match what we were physically doing. In other words, our words would be empty words as our lives didn't reflect the transformation that the gospel has affected in our hearts. If we were just people who said nice things without lives that matched what we were saying, that the gospel ministry would be blunted. Physical needs, in fact, in a church that didn't have a deacon ministry, physical needs might be met, but not in a God-glorifying way. And so deacons are what? Here's the main idea that we looked at last week. God gives his church, and isn't this nice to be able to write this down? You know, Tate was telling me in between services, there were some words he was having trouble spelling a lot of times when we were in the parking lot. So this is going to be really helpful for Tate. God gives his church, God gives his church deacons who faithfully serve the church by taking responsibility for meeting the physical needs of the body of Christ for the glory of God. That's what God has given his church. These deacons, these faithful servants who are faithfully serving the church, and they're going to take responsibility for meeting the physical needs of the body of Christ for the glory of God. We have been given deacons. And so I'm excited to kind of continue to unpack this deacon ministry, these servants of the body of Christ. And what I hope happens is this. I hope as we go through this, there's an appreciation that we all have for deacons. As we think about these people who are in these ministries, we're excited about them, and that should be one of the things that takes place. I also hope that as we go through this, that some of you may feel called to servant ministries as well. He said, boy, the things you're describing about what should be true of these people who are deacons, I desire that. I want to aspire to that. And I hope that all of us, as we think about the qualifications for those who are involved in servant ministry, all of us would say, yeah, that's what I desire to grow in that. I desire to emulate that in my own life as well. So let me give you a little bit of a review. Remember last week we talked about the problem, and you can turn to Acts 6 if you're not there. We're going to be in Acts 6 and 1 Timothy 3. So in Acts 6, remember what we saw there. The disciples are increasing in number, and then there's a complaint by the Greek-speaking Jews that their widows are being neglected in the daily distribution. There were these resources that were going out to the widows, and the Greek-speaking widows say, look, we're being neglected. That's a problem. The church has a responsibility to meet the physical needs of people, and it's not taking place. And the other aspect of the problem is that the apostles say, look, we don't have the capacity to meet that need. We need to focus, it says here in verse 2. It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. We can't do it all. We need to focus on the ministry that God has called us to. Yesterday, there were a lot of people who were here yesterday and Friday cleaning and getting things set up, and I stopped by a couple times yesterday just because I wanted to be part of the excitement. You know, I was, boy, this is kind of cool to see everybody, and you know, I had trouble sleeping last night a little bit, just kind of excited about this morning, and there was a time where I was here yesterday afternoon where I was like, okay, I've got to leave, because if I don't leave, I'm just going to stay here forever, and there's going to be a really nice, clean building that people come to listen to a message that I'm not ready to give. So I need to focus on spending some time making sure that I understand the things that I want to be talking about tomorrow about deacons. There's different responsibilities all of us have, and none of us can do it all. And the apostles realize that. The problem is, how are we going to meet these physical needs in a spiritual way, in a God-glorifying way? And the solution we see in verses 3 through 7. The solution in verses 3 through 7, that's a problem, how to meet physical needs in a spiritual way. Now we see the solution in verses 3 through 7. The solution is godly servants. The solution is godly servants. And the apostles look at the congregation and they begin to say, look, here's what you need to do. And as we look at these verses, and as we look at what we see in 1 Timothy, we're going to see four characteristics of this deacon ministry. And I say four, but as you know, as is my habit, we're going to go through three and four really quickly, and number two is going to have a lot of subpoints. Okay, so here's the first characteristic of this deacon ministry, the godly servants that God gives his church. Number one, the first characteristic of deacon ministry, and by the way, as we talked about last week, I think Acts 6 is kind of laying the foundation of this deeds ministry that becomes the deacon ministry throughout the New Testament church. The first characteristic is this. Deacons, these godly servants, are formally affirmed and recognized in their servant leadership by the congregation. The apostles don't say, look, guys, we need to be teaching and preaching and praying. We don't have time to deal with it. Just take care of it, okay? No, they say, we recognize, as leaders of the church, we need to make sure that these needs are met. And it needs to be done in a formal way. We need the congregation to look at a group of people as bearing responsibility for these ministries. And so, they say in verse 3 of Acts 6, pick out. Select, choose these men who will be in charge of the distribution of the resources. And then verse 3 also says, will appoint. So there's going to be a formal recognition on the part of the apostles of these deacons. Now, as we think about our own church context, maybe you've been in churches that have had deacons before. And there are all sorts of different ways that deacon ministry kind of manifests itself. And I've been in some churches where it wasn't always handled the most healthy way. So, for example, sometimes people looked at deacons as just people who oversaw committees, or deacons who were kind of, I have some pastor friends who are in churches where the deacons kind of view themselves as like the boss of the pastor. And so they, they're concerned about their office hours, and they're concerned about, you know, making sure they don't they toe the line and things like that, but they're not really involved in more ministries in the church. Or maybe a deacon sometimes thinks of themselves as being in charge of just doing all the grunt work, and that's not healthy as well. The first thing that we notice then is that deacons are those that are looked to for their servant leadership. In fact, you notice that phrase that I use, their servant leadership. They're not recognized for how wealthy they are. They're not recognized for how successful they are in the secular workplace. These are people that the whole church looks at and says, yeah, those individuals are good servants. And we want them to be tasked with the responsibility of serving. You know, we're in the midst of a heated political cycle, and there are a lot of discussions about what a president or a senator, what characteristics and qualities they should have or what they should not be. Maybe that's what we talk about more often than what they should be, what they should not be. We're talking about all these things, right? And different people prioritize different characteristics or attributes. But notice what we see in the church. Here, we're saying that the people in the church who are worthy of esteem, the people in the church who are worthy of emulation, who we want to be in charge of ministry, are those who are, in some ways, the most lowly. Not those who demand a seat of prominence, but those who sacrificially serve. Those are the individuals to whom we look for leadership and oversight. Now, how does this work in our church? We have a group of individuals who are formally recognized at Bethany Community Church as deacons. And I'll just kind of list their names. They love attention. That's why they're deacons. No, they don't. They knew I was doing this. Some of them probably would have stopped me beforehand. But here's the deacons, and here's the ministries, some of the ministries that they have special responsibility over. So Mark Hahn is in charge of one of the people in charge of our benevolence ministry. Luke Knapp, hospitality. Gene Lehman is our SOS, serving others selflessly, overseer. Danny Landwehr is in charge of building and grounds, one of two deacons involved in that. Doug Wright, chairman of the deacons. Mike Wibben is involved in security and also, you know, has been very involved in our building ministry. Caleb Weiss is involved also with benevolence, and Jake Zimmerman also involved with building and grounds. These are individuals who we formally recognize as servant leaders. It's interesting to me. I noticed this as I was writing down their names. Over half of them have last names that begin with the letter W or later. It's almost like we were calling through the church and we're just begging people by the time we got to W. No, that's not how they were selected. Doug, we've only got four names left. That's not how it worked at all, right? That's not how it worked. These are individuals that we as a church have looked to and said, look, we appreciate your servant leadership. Please continue to oversee in these areas. Now, number two, deacons are to meet both spiritual and practical qualifications. There's some qualifications that deacons need to meet. These qualifications do not mean that they exhibit these characteristics perfectly. If I just read their names, you can talk to their family members and ask if they exhibit these things perfectly, and I'm sure you'd get some good stories, right? What we're saying when we say they need to meet these qualifications is we're saying we believe that these are deacons who have believed the gospel. They've recognized that they're sinners. They've recognized that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, and they've placed their faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. And now their lives reflect the reality of a person who's believed that and is growing in their faith. They're committed to sanctification, and we see evidence of God's work in their lives. And so these are qualifications that we see God working in their lives in and through, and they have the ability to engage in servant ministry. So I'm going to go through some of these qualifications, and as I go through these qualifications, hopefully you say, okay, these are things I desire to be true of me, some of these as well. So the first thing, There's quite a few that we're going to go through here. The first thing, deacons are to have a good reputation. That's number one, right? Here in Acts 6, the apostles say, brothers, pick out from among you some men of good repute. That means a good testimony, a good witness. So these are people that have, you look at their life and say, okay, here's the gospel, here's their life. There's not inconsistencies in their testimony and how they're living. These are people I'm going to trust to make hard decisions regarding the building and projects, how to allocate funds, give me advice on my finances. They have a good reputation. I trust what they're going to say. Secondly, deacons are to be Spirit-filled. They're to be Spirit-filled. It's not surprising to see this qualification mentioned in the book of Acts, as so many works of the Holy Spirit are emphasized as you go through Acts. But the apostles say, look, we want men of good reputation, good repute, who are Spirit-filled. And that phrase, Spirit-filled, means that these are individuals whose lives are being led by the Spirit. They're sensitive to the will of the Spirit, and they're walking in obedience to the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is manifest in their lives. There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You're seeing that lived out in their lives. About a week and a half ago, we had a deacon elder meeting on a Tuesday night, and I asked the deacons and the elders, I said, okay, so we think about these qualifications, why is it so important that a deacon be Spirit-filled? What might happen in a church where the deacons were not Spirit-filled? And, you know, it's got some great answers. So, for example, someone said, well, you know, there could be a lot of burnout in a church where the deacons weren't Spirit-filled. I mean, we're talking about a ministry where the work is never done. You never, as a deacon or as a church, say, hey, you know what? I think we've met all the physical needs. We're good. We've done it. it's like a house with kids. It's never clean, right? You get cleaner, and it seems like you're continually progressing, but it's never a clean house. The physical needs of the church are never all met. So it's a very discouraging ministry if you have a fleshly goal of getting everything done. It can be bad to not have a Spirit-filled deacon ministry, not just because of that, not just because of burnout, but also the concern can become about glory of self versus the glory of God. The deacon ministry is a ministry that's focused on seeing others glorified, seeing God glorified first and foremost. And so if a deacon is self-willed, concerned with self-glory, if any servant is concerned with their own glory, it can be devastating to a church. There's going to be a lot of conflict in a deacon ministry where the deacons are not Spirit-filled. As they are allocating resources and thinking about different ministries, pride and ego and those sorts of things are going to enter into the equation if they're not Spirit-filled, and it's going to be disastrous. There's going to be a focus on task instead of people if the deacons are fleshly. So deacons are to be Spirit-filled. Thirdly, we see deacons are to be wise. Deacons are to be wise. The apostles say, good repute, full of Spirit and of wisdom. This is all in Acts 6, whom we'll point to this ministry. So there's wisdom. They have good judgment. They're able to take the truths of Scripture and apply them in good practical ways. Well, now we see some more. I'm going to draw some more from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 3 again. And look at what Paul says about these qualifications. We continue to talk about the spiritual qualifications of deacons. Deacons are not just to be wise, they're also to be dignified. And look at verse 8 of 1 Timothy 3. Deacons are to be dignified. Deacons are to be dignified. It says, likewise, deacons must be dignified. And so he's been talking about the qualifications of elders, and now he's talking about the qualifications of deacons. That's why he says likewise. And this idea of dignified is the idea of respect. There's a sense of respect that you have for this person. I can remember whenever I was young and at Bethany Baptist Church on staff, there was some house problems we were having, and a deacon came and helped Whitney and I kind of figure out what to do with this house situation. And I can remember just being honored that this man was stepping foot in my home. I mean, I would have been honored to have him come to my house anyway, but that he was coming to my house and working on something, like, I was floored. There's a dignity that a deacon has, that a person of the Lord who's walking with the Lord has, and there's a sense of gratitude when someone does something for you, but when someone that you respect that's doing something for you, there's an even deeper sense of gratitude and appreciation. Now, Paul, in the next couple that he mentions here from 1 Timothy 3, he puts them in a negative way. So the next thing we see, deacons are not to be double-tongued. That's the next quality. Deacons are not to be double-tongued. And the term is only used here in the New Testament. What he's saying is deacons don't say one thing over here and something else over here. They don't tell you, you're telling me this in confidence, but I'm going to go and talk about how terrible your life is over here. Deacons are those who are oftentimes at the front line of helping people who are in some really desperate situations. The church needs individuals who are going to come alongside people at their toughest times and be a non-judgmental resource for people to say, look, this is what I'm going through. These are some bad decisions that I've made, and now, or maybe some bad decisions that someone else who I'm close to made, and now I'm bearing the consequences of them, and I'm telling you this, and please help me figure out how to handle this. And a deacon can say, I'm a safe person to talk to. A deacon is not double-tongued. They're a person whose words are gracious. It's an oasis in a time of trouble. The next character quality we see, deacons are not to be addicted to wine. They're not to be addicted to wine. There's self-control that protects the deacon's ministry. They're not someone who's going to bring shame on the church through their lack of discernment and control. The next quality we see, deacons are, again, negatively, not to be greedy. Deacons are not to be greedy. It says here in 1 Timothy, he says, they're not greedy for dishonest gain. That's verse 8. Deacons, this is important. Deacons are working with material things, but they're not materialists. They're people who are very wise in how to think about the physical world, and yet they're not in love with the physical world. There are people that we can look to understand rightly how to handle our finances. You know, one of the surprising and frankly disappointing things to me in ministry when I started as a senior pastor was how often people looked to the church as kind of a giant cash cow. I mean, I got inundated. When I became a senior pastor, I got inundated with hey, I'd love to sell you this, and I'd love to have you buy this, and here's a program for only $15. I mean, it's like the church was, you know, Bethany Community Church cash sign. I mean, it was really unseemly to me. I was shocked by it. Deacons don't look at the church that way. Deacons look at the church as a place that's full of material things, yes, but those are material things that can be used for eternal ends. Deacons approach the church and they're able to see the way in which physical things can be used to help people grow spiritually. Now, I want to say this next thing carefully. I've said it before and sometimes it's misunderstood. You know, it's interesting. Politicians often release their tax returns and different information about their finances, right? And my plea with you as a church, now, we don't know other things. Politicians may give more than on their tax returns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We don't know if that's the full story of what they give. But what I would say is this. My plea with you would be this. Don't base your view of material things and giving and what's generous in terms of giving on the stated tax returns of most politicians, right? I mean, some recently came out. There's someone makes $900,000 and gives $15,000 or 30, someone makes millions of dollars and gives $30,000. And, you know, I don't know if that's all that a person gives, but I'll tell you, you know, that's not what, if that's what your true resources are and what your true giving is, that's not what generous giving looks like. That's not what generous giving looks like. My plea would be, don't look to politicians' tax returns that are public as your model for generosity. Instead, look to deacons. Look to other godly servants. If our church gave like the reported giving of politicians, we would not be sitting here this morning in this building, right? We would not be sitting here. That's just the truth. God's people are to be bold and generous in their giving, and we look to people like deacons to help us understand what does this look like? How should I view my physical things? How should I give with generosity? How should I help others? That's the hallmark of one of the hallmarks of the early church is their generosity and holding all things in common, and the deacons help them in the distribution of that. We look to them to help us. Another characteristic of deacons, deacons are to hold fast to the faith with a clear conscience, Paul tells Timothy. In other words, it's not just elders who are the leaders who are thinking theologically. The deacons are thinking rightly with their minds. They're thinking rightly with God's word and applying it to life. And why is that so important? Deacons are going to be those who come alongside people at some of their hardest times, and deacons need to encourage others in those moments to think rightly about God. You're a godly servant. You're helping a person, and they're suffering. They're suffering in their finances, and they're saying, "Okay, look." They're suffering in their health, and they're saying, "Okay, look. This is what the gospel says, and this is what I'm personally experiencing. Help me reconcile these things." And a deacon, as they come alongside a person, as a godly servant comes alongside people and says, "Okay, here's how you think rightly about what you're going through right now." Deacons need to hold fast to the gospel, to the faith, with a clear conscience, rightly understanding the gospel and how it applies to people's lives. Now, this next qualification, I went really nebulous in how I worded it, okay? You said deacons. Here's the next thing. Women are to be godly. You say, Daniel, what do you mean there? Well, I'm vague here. Look at the text. In verse 11, the ESV translates what Paul writes here. It says, their wives likewise. Now, there's a word that Paul uses there that could be translated wives. And if Paul means to use the word wives, then he's talking about deacons' wives. I think that's the decision the ESV translation made there. But the word that he uses could also be translated women. And if he means to use the word women, then he's talking about women servants, women deacons, deaconesses, if you will. And our church has not talked about this in a formal way, how to understand this passage. We talked about it a little bit at a recent elder deacon meeting, and it's a conversation I'd like us to continue to have as deacon and elders. A little bit of our history. We were planted by Bethany Baptist Church 12 years ago, and Bethany Baptist Church has deaconesses. And as we were planting the church, we approached a couple women and said, "Hey, would you like to serve as deaconesses?" These were godly servant women, and they said, "You know what? We really would prefer not to have that title. We're too busy serving to worry about all those things." And so we didn't really revisit it more at the time. Personally, and this is me, I do think this is referring to female deacons. I think he's talking about women because nothing in the responsibilities of deacons precludes a woman from serving that role. The fact that he uses the word likewise, he's talking about elders, and likewise these deacons who are men now, likewise these female deacons. We see Paul call a woman a deacon in the book of Romans, and the characteristics that are being used here in this verse, here in verse 11, are describing to me someone doing a ministry, not the spouse of someone doing a ministry. Now, I've said before that in a healthy church, there are going to be these roles of elder and deacons, and even if you don't always use that terminology, in a healthy church, people are going to be functioning in that way. Whenever I was looking at coming to Bethany Baptist Church 20 years ago, we visited, and I was asking Rich Burkle about the ministry of the elders there, and he said, well, actually, we don't have people with the title elders. And I thought, well, that is a deal breaker. I guess we're not coming here. I didn't say that out loud. But I'm thinking that in my head. I'm like, I'm so disappointed because this seems like such a great church. He said, we have deacons, but they function as elders. And we have this other group, and they function as deacons. And the more I talked to people, the more I realized that was true. And by God's grace, I think Bethany Baptist just did a great job in those roles, and they changed their terminology and so forth. All that to say, in healthy churches, there's going to be women who are functioning as deaconesses. That's my belief. Even if we don't always use the title of deaconesses, and I think that's something we might want to revisit as a church, there's still going to be women who are functioning as deaconesses. And now I've said more than I meant to say, and fortunately time is getting away from me, so I'm going to go on, right? Start getting texts from the elders, right? Too soon. What are they? They're dignified. These women are dignified. They're not slanderers. They're sober-minded. They're faithful in all things. And they're being faithful to that ministry. Now here's the last characteristic already on the screen there. Deacons are to be faithful in their ministry at home. They're to be faithful in their ministry at home. And he goes back to talking about the male deacons. The male deacon here is a one-woman man. He's faithful in this ministry to his family, to his wife. Faithful if he's married, to his covenant vows, to his wife. And then a man here is also has proven spiritual leadership in his home. He's shepherding well. Last two, real quickly, as we think about the characteristics of deacon ministry. Number three, so those were all the spiritual qualifications. Number three, deacons serve the church as they faithfully meet her physical needs. That's just the job description. We've talked about that already. And then finally, deacons who are faithful. Deacons, and really we could expand this to just servants in the church. Deacons who are faithful in this ministry that God has called them to, they receive honor and confidence. Paul tells Timothy here, he says, for those, this is verse 13, for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. They gain a good standing for themselves. And I think what that means is the church looks at them and honors them. They don't put them on a pedestal and say, you're so great and things are so wonderful because of you. They say, no, we see God working through you. God is glorified because of your faithfulness. And there's an honor that a person has because of God working in and through them. And then there's confidence in the faith. As they look at their ministry, there can be confidence that God has done his work, and there's joy. This ministry of the word that we are called to, this gospel proclamation we're called to, doesn't occur just in the spiritual realm. We are a church with physical needs. God's people need those who are going to come alongside them and help them and care for them. And so God gives his church deacons who faithfully serve the church by taking responsibility for meeting the physical needs of the body of Christ for the glory of God. And of course, they are not the only ones. There are models in this ministry, but God has called each of us to engage in ministry for one another for his glory. And what a great Sunday for us to think about that. As we find ourselves in a physical building, as we find ourselves in this physical, thinking about the physical things that God calls our church to do, we see that God gives us deacons as a model for how we should be functioning in that way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these faithful individuals you call to deacon ministry. We pray that we as a church would be faithful to raise people up to this ministry. And we pray that we would look to those in this ministry and honor them, support them, thank them, and emulate them. Help us to be engaged in these ministries for your glory as well. Father, we would ask for your special grace upon us as a church. And now as we prepare our hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper, we would ask that you would help us to think rightly about you, to think biblically about our sin, and to trust in your Son Jesus for our forgiveness. We pray this in his name. Amen.